V'hinoam Adonai Eloheinu Olenu Maaseh Deno Kununa Olenu Maaseh Deno Kunaneh.
Shalom Aleichem, Baruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. It's Be'ezrat Hashem, we are now continuing our shiurim in the saga, the story of Rabbi Yosef de la Rina, the great and holy sage who in the 1400s single-handedly endeavored to take on the entire forces of evil, to defeat them, so in essence, to force the coming of Mashiach. Now, you might think that that's a rather arrogant type of desire for someone to ever want to accomplish. In reality, that's no such thing at all. Each and every one of us actually can desire this, and of all of us, someone out there, somehow, some way, will accomplish the task. It will be done. And the first person to do that, the one soul of all humanity, that rises to the top, like the cream of the crop, as they say, that soul will be the one who we know as Mashiach ben David. And just to put it into a appropriate context, we speak of the coming of ben David. But who's to say he has not already accomplished his task? And that his coming is, if you will, a matter of fact. It's an interesting, when we go into the prophecies, obviously of the Nevi'im, Yeshayahu, Zechariahu, you will find that the coming of Mashiach is most certainly not, as many rabbis interpret it to be, a natural event that happens in the course of human events. A point that is made very clearly by the great biblical commentator, the Malbim. The coming of Mashiach is going to be, in his own Hebrew, ma'od me'al ha'teva, very much what we would call supernatural. You must understand, as a foundation for our story here, Rabbi Yosef de la Rina, have any of you ever seen a movie came out many, many years ago called The Matrix? It was actually well received. It was one of the few movies well received in certain religious circles in Israel, because its underlying story was that our entire world is an illusion, and that there's an underlying reality. And unless we, in essence, wake up to it, we'll always be in a state of dormant sleep. This is a very true principle and statement. That which we call this world and life itself is in essence really a death. The state which we call being awake is in essence really the state called sleep. That's right. Everything that you know, everything that you believe, everything that you touch, every sense of what you think is real, is in all due respect, merely in the ultimate scheme of things, an illusion. All of Asiatic reality, as we describe it in the Ari's terms, is much more of an illusion than anything else. Piercing away the veils of illusion require efforts on our part. In order for Rabbi Yosef de la Rina to confront evil, he cannot confront evil as it is masked in its multiple forms here on earth. Rather, he must transcend the veils of illusion and touch, experience, enter into, interact with the realm of reality, face evil in its real form, and then be able to conquer it. You don't get into the real world with a snap of a fingers and a magic word hocus pocus. It is a process, the process of which is actually taught almost in full detail in our story here. And it is the reason why I'm sharing these lessons. Because I believe that there are many of us out there, maybe amongst those of you listening live right now, or through this recording, who if you truly, sincerely wish to know the truth,
to pierce the veils. Well then, this is what you have to do. Let's continue our story. As where we left off in our previous lesson, Rabbi Yosef and his 5 Talmidim went to Meron, to the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and from there received a vision, a revelation, wherein which the great sage pretty much gave him thumbs up to proceed on his mission. But yet, in order to be able to accomplish great tasks, which are naturally outside of human hands and possibilities to do, you have to go up the chain of command. And as we will see, our universe very much operates on a very structured chain of command. Entities. You can call them souls, you can call them angels, or you can use the more popular modern term, extraterrestrials. I assure you, all the terms are correct. And I assure you, they're all one and the same. And in case you're taking a gasp and saying, what am I suggesting? You darn well know what I'm suggesting, and I'm not going to get into it further at this time. Let's continue our story as the saga continues. After their experience in Meron, it was time for them to go to Tiberia. For those of you who know Israel well, Tzvat, or Meron actually, is north of Tiberia. Tiberia is down by the Kinneret. Now, in those days, it's not like today where you just hop in a cab or take an Egged bus. When you went from Meron to Tiberia, you either went on donkey back or you walked. And most likely these guys walked. Let me tell you something. That's rugged terrain, and it probably was not an easy trip. So, in the morning then, they proceeded and went to Tiberia. And they went out into, it says here a field, but the field could have easily been a forest. In other words, it's an isolated location. A place where they are separate from all of the hubbub and noise and psychic static that inhabited domains naturally creates. V'yavohu el ha'yar, and they come now to the forest. Asher bo ilanot harbe, many, many trees. The true way of connecting with Hashem, hear this well. Rav Baal Shem Tov taught it and practiced it, as did the B'nai Nevi'im thousands of years before, and as you and I must today. You have to learn to commune with nature. But what about going to Shul and Yeshiva? Let me tell you something. Shul and Yeshiva is all fine, it's all good, and it has its time and place. But you need to take time to get out of the big, disgusting cities and urban environments with all of their pollution, psychological pollution, psychic pollution, all the more so physical, and get out into nature. Go out into a place where literally you can go and get lost. How many places are like that? In almost every area in the country that I know, there are places not too far away. In the areas in Israel, everybody knows what's there. I don't need to enumerate them. Europe, you have your own forests. Even in New York, you have the Appalachians. You're in Southern California. We have areas all around us. And I hear people say, I don't like to hike. I don't like to go out in the nature. Oh, let me tell you what you're saying, whether you acknowledge it or not, is you don't like to get close to God. You like your air conditioning. You like your comfortable house. You like your designer shoes. Let me tell you something. You're a slave to the Satan. You are a part of the problem. You are a poison. That's right. And I will come down on you like a ton of bricks. You are part of the illusion. You are sick. You are ill. And unless you're able to get rid of your cancerous bond to urban lifestyle and living, you will be embracing a poison which will kill you and your soul for lifetimes to come. Get back to nature, folks. Get back to nature in all ways and things. Not for naught that they go out into the forests here. They just didn't want to be private. If they wanted to be private, they didn't go into a room and close the door. Too much psychic noise. People today are afraid of going to a place of silence. You are nothing more than tamei. You are unclean. And again, I'm biting my tongue from holding back my vehemence, my complete disgust at those people who so much embrace the urban lifestyle, who are so afraid, so against going out into nature. I have religious friends of mine, rabbis I know, up in the Muncie area, who actually every single week go hiking, they go camping. No, they're not survivalists or anything of the kind. The individual in mind is actually a doctor, father of many children. But he knows the value of the land. And as such, whether he even realizes it or not, draws close to God with every step he takes in the beautiful world that God has created, and not in the world which man has perverted. To conclude this, let me remind you, remember Cain, the son of Adam, who killed his brother Hevel? You remember God banished him from the face of the earth, sent him off, and the first thing he did was build a city. Urbanization is the primordial act of rebellion against God. And when you want to talk about the future Jerusalem, I assure you, it'll be a city unlike anything you've ever known before. Because it'll be a holistic city, a city in such tune and harmony with nature, that you will not know the difference, because nothing in the future Jerusalem will be dead. Even the stones will be alive, as are the trees, the air, the ground beneath your feet. And that is why you connect, and that is why you go, as all of us must. I'm sure you should recognize these teachings from the Baal Shem Tov. Very, very common and popular there. But continuing in our story, he says here, "V'yishvu sham kol yom ahum, v'lo pasku megirasa u'betanit." All the day long they sat out in the woods, and all the day they did not eat. They sat in a fast, and they studied. The word here is girsa, which means reading, but it means studying. Now, the way that we eat today is an arrogant sin. We call it achilat gasa, overeating. Rambam writes clearly in the laws of tshuva, that achilat gasa, eating anything you don't need to eat, is an avera for which you'll have to do teshuva in Yom Kippur. I look at the obesity in the religious community today, and it disgusts me. I feel like going up to these fat people, poking them in the belly, and saying, "Do you realize you're a walking Chilul Hashem?" That's right. You know, you got 5 pounds extra, 10 pounds extra, you know something, especially as you get older, that's human metabolism. Those things happen. But we're not talking about that. I'm not talking about you having the 2 and 3 and 4 extra helpings of chulent all year round. It is an avera. Did you hear that? It is a sin if you are overweight to be overeating, even in times in Shabbat. Enjoy your sweets, but do so in moderation. Enjoy your food, but also in moderation. This is the most important thing in the world. The Pasuk says clearly, Tzadik ochel l'svo'a nafsho. The righteous eat only for the sake of health. You become then naturally slim, naturally healthy, by guarding your diet, by what you eat. And then you will find that the study of Torah that you do will not be constipated. It will not be clogged. When your physical body is clogged up, heavy and weighed down, so is your mind. It blocks your level of understanding. And as such, you cannot learn clearly. And therefore, as you lose weight, by naturally saying, "No, I will not overeat," it's a change of lifestyle, not a diet. and you naturally go back to where your body should naturally, healthily be, you will find that your mind will clear up, like a cloud will be lifted from over your insight, and you'll be able to perceive things in a much deeper and truer way. All that I'm sharing with you now, you think, oh, this is health? No, I'm talking to you the greatest secrets of the Kabbalah Ma'asit, the greatest secrets of the prophetic Kabbalah, because they knew very well, as we do still know today, a healthy mind requires a healthy body. You cannot have one without the other. And if you see any great rabbis in something who are obese and overweight, and you still think they are kadosh, trust me, it is impossible. It is impossible. That's right. And as much as people might have, there will always be a congestion, a cloud, a disconnection. It is inevitable.
Hayu osukim betziruf shamot hakodeshim ubiyichudim hanodim lehem bekedusha v'mora gadol.
What else they were doing? It says here that they were working with the permutations of holy names and secret meditative prayers, which you call yichudim, which means unifications, that they knew. And they worked with this with holiness and great awe. Let me tell you something. Holy names. According to the Arizal, in his system, we do not recite any names aloud. But in the older classical systems, people who are properly prepared, most definitely, clearly recited names aloud. Especially permutations. They were always recited in a nice, loud voice. A meditative chant, not even in a whisper. You can go back into some of the Tziruf texts, such as Sulam Aliyah, the Shari Kedusha, and even in the Shari Tzedek. Especially in the Sulam Aliyah, you will see it very clearly stating this, as well as other places. Now, when you wish to reverberate specific sounds in specific ways, there was actually a technique to this. It wasn't just that you would read what it says on a page, abracadabra, alakazam, etc. and so on. No. There was a special technique of how to recite it, how to chant it, what to be thinking about as you're making these sounds. And as you would make these sounds, your body would reverberate. It could shake. It would, in essence, your body would resonate with the sound. It's all actual physics, harmonics. And by doing so, it had an influence upon your brain chemistry, which therefore could alter human consciousness. So, the proper sounds, chimed in the proper way, had the effect of opening up doorways in consciousness. And therefore, even if you know the right ways to pronounce things, people have heard of the great 42-letter name of God, 72-triad name of God. Of course, the famous name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. You know all the vowels? I do. I know the vowels of all of those names and probably many more than that. And I can tell you right now, if you were to recite them out loud, thinking, fearing, wondering if anything would happen, nothing. Nothing at all. Because the right means in the wrong hands will cause the right means to work in the wrong way. You will accomplish nothing if you do not have the proper technique. Compare it, if you will, to going to a gym and lifting weights. You can go to the gym and think, gee, I can lift up 200 pounds, 300 pounds. And you lift it up and try it and remove the supports and bam, it comes crashing right down on you because you're not yet prepared. There's a right and a wrong way to do everything. If you want to learn to do things the right way, the doors are open for you. The rabbis are out there to teach you. All you have to do is the proper levels of teshuvah, preparation, and kiddushah. And the sky's the limit. Unfortunately, being that we are all so bound with the ball and chain of urban living in its unhealthily forms, who's prepared? But Rabbi Yosef de Larina was doing all the right things. They were preparing their minds, channeling and focusing
the residents. V'ayu holchim b'kol boker litvol b'yam Tiberia. And every morning they would go into the Kinneret, right? He calls it here the Tiberian Sea. Esrim v'shesh tivilot ritzufot keneged shem Havaya. 26 dunkings corresponding to the name Yudkei Vavkei. Now, there is actually a great meditation with regards to how we go into the mikveh. There are beautiful meditations, many of which I have outlined in my books Call Upon My Name and Walking in the Fire, translated from the school of the Arizal. There are many additions to those as well. Of course, Rabbi Yosef de Larina never followed the Arizal, never studied the Arizal. Why? Do you have anything against the Arizal? The only thing he had against them was about 100 years or so. In other words, he predated the Arizal by over 100 years, so it's kind of hard, you know, to know something before its time. But I say that facetiously, but I also say that with a note here, because the Arizal, as brilliant as he was receiving Ruach HaKodesh, many of the things were known before him. And these older classical forms should not be discarded. They should be well known, because indeed that's what the Arizal himself had learned. Moving right along, 26 tivilot, going into a natural body of water. A little bit better than just taking a shower or a bath. There is energy. That's what it is, energy, nefesh energy, life force energy. I commonly use the oriental term, qi. In natural bodies of water, there is natural qi there, which becomes weakened, if not completely dissipated, by going through the pipes and systems of man-made showers and pools and bathtubs. This is why Torah obligates a woman to be purified every month by going into a natural body of water, one that naturally is a conduit for living life force energy, the living chi. And if it has none, it's not a kosher mikvah. The laws of the mikvah are very precise to maintain that the natural water be preserved. This is what Rabbi Yosef de Larina, they were all reconnecting to the natural order of things. And each and every time that they would immerse in the waters, they would do a specific type of a meditation with a specific combination of sounds with a specific meditation. Now, how do you do a tziruf of sound underneath the water? Well, the answer should be obviously you do it before you go under, and then you go under, and it's a matter of what we call or yashar, or chuzer, descending light, ascending light, and there's a union that your body as it goes up and it goes down. You're metaphorically acting out a relationship of interactive energies. The purpose of all this is to transfer your focus of attention from your physical world of veiled illusions into the inner realm in which the veils can be pierced and truth can be perceived. So therefore, in your mind, you can go to truth, whereas in your body, you're imprisoned here in this world. Moving right along. It says here, Kemishpat hazeh osu shlosha yamim ritzufim v'shlosha leilot. They did this that we just described here, the 3 days and three nights, and they fasted day and night, 72 hours, no food, no drink. Oh my gosh, how could they do that? Let me tell you something. People today under desperate circumstances, where in which life is disturbed, whether it be by such terrible things as war or such terrible things as storms, and you don't have your daily amenities. You know something? People get along for 3 days without food and drink. They just do. And they still are able to function, and they're still able to move and get along and do whatever else that they have to do. Those things happen. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Oh, I don't know how I do it. Ugh, you disgusting, weak voices. Terrible. Terrible. Try it sometime. Force yourself to do it. I don't know how many you are, but at the end of Yom Kippur, when you're doing a good 24, 25 hour fast, do you really feel so desperate that if you don't eat, you're going to die? Most people that I know at the end of the Yom Kippur, a good 24, 25 hour fast, said, yeah, it's fine. And you know, if you went for another 24, you'd still be fine. That's right. Rabbi Yosef and his Talmidim here did full 72 hours. And they managed, and they survived. They did not have air conditioning. They didn't have a tent. They didn't have comfy sleeping bags. They were just at one in nature. Oh, how uncomfortable, how inconvenient. You want to know something? Uncomfortability and inconvenience are illusions of your mind. They are what we call the klipot. They are what we call the forces of evil, which you embrace so well. That's right. You have to learn that inconvenience is a mitzvah. Being uncomfortable is a mitzvah. To go out in the nature and to bond with that which God gave us and to learn and to experience it. There is no greater way of divikut that I can recommend to you. But moving right along. B'layla ha'ochlim shum ba'al chai. Alright? At the end now, at the night, it says here, when they eat, they didn't eat anything that came from a living source. No meat, and no fish, and certainly no wine or any intoxicating beverage. Our society is very meat-oriented. I, for one, am certainly not a vegetarian. If anything, I'm an anti-vegetarian, because I don't believe in a vegetarian lifestyle at all. Despite the fact some of my closest students are vegetarian, so be it. I don't believe it is the Torah path to be a vegetarian. But yet, Rabbi Yosef Karo himself was taught by his Magid, the Shekhinah, that when you eat meat, you do so only sparingly on Shabbat, Yom Tov, or Rosh Chodesh, and then in an appropriate small amount. That's right, a small amount. Today, people eat these, 30-ounce steaks I see in the menus of restaurants? Oh my gosh, that's enough to last for a week. It's ridiculous, and people sit and finish this off. Learn to control your diets. And don't point to me, halakha or minhag, when you want to rise above the common denominator. Don't point to me what it's like to get a D on the test when you're striving to get an A. Moving right along here. Wahi, le'et erev ba'alot ha-mincha. It is now the time of mincha. Vayakam Rabbi Yosef im Talmidav yitpalelu mincha. Rabbi Yosef and his students, now it's time to daven mincha. Bekol e'arev bekavana gedolav inyanehem sugurot, b'aneim sugurot. They're now praying in a pleasant voice with the appropriate devotions, meditations, with their eyes closed. You know, halacha states that when you daven amida, you should daven with your eyes closed. It should be a private time between you and Hashem. And the way I see some people daven today, my gosh, I am shocked and amazed at the sages, that they would even accept that type of behavior from people and call it acceptable tefillah. Because personally, I don't at all. Tefillot, if it's not of the heart, in my opinion, it's not tefillah at all. Because she agil shamaya tefillah. When they get to the part of the Amidah, Shema Kolenu, Hashem Elokeinu, right? Omru Anenu, they said Anenu, which is the insertion of the prayer that we recite for fast days. Ubamakom Shemazkirim Shem Havaya B'Kinui Adnut. Now pay attention. At the place where they would normally say the name of Hashem, Amonai, like we always do, Hem Hayu Mazkirim. They would say, the word maskir does not mean meditate upon. It does not mean michaven. It says maskir, to recite out loud. Et shem hakadol kiktovo. They would recite out loud the name of Hashem, yud ke vav ke, as it is written. The nikudot, with its vowels, hayudot, which were known. The yichudin atzorichim, and all the known meditative prayers. Let me tell you something. Want to know how to pronounce the holy name Yud Ke Vav Ke? Not so hard. Not so hard at all. I could tell you, but I
have chosen not to in this form, it's not even that great a secret. And let's say you did recite the name. Like I mentioned before, don't expect miracles or anything else to happen. Nothing would happen. You're not able to wield that sword. I will share with you this. The reason why the name Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke is not pronounced today is because every letter has multiple vowels to it. And the order of the multiple vowels for each letter changes in accordance to the energy which is being channeled through the name and in the direction in which the name is being used. So in essence, there is not just one correct pronunciation of the name. There are many. 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. That's the way, and that's how it works. Moving right along here. They would therefore pray and supplicating, lengthening their prayers, because they're really bonded with Hashem now.
Ubahashpaot gedolot lekol malachei elyon hanodaim etzlo.
They would also be invoking all of the holy angels. How do you invoke an angel?
I call upon you, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel.
Let me tell you something. We all read in the Midrashim, even Sefer Daniel, about these big malachim, Michael, Gabriel. We have all these prayers, I call upon you. Let me tell you something. You know what a malach is? A malach is a real entity. A malach doesn't live here on earth. We call a malach, the Hebrew word malach is a messenger. What exact race and type of being they are, they're all different types. But this one entity, who, for example, we'll call Michael, or Matat, if you will, they are of such a different nature. Allow me to use the term much more highly evolved than us. They are so far above us as we are above the amoeba. And you think you have what it takes to call them down to listen to you? When was the last time an amoeba got your attention? When was the last time an ant crawling across your floor was able to dictate to you and tell you what to do? Good gosh, you probably stepped in on it and didn't even know it was there. When a malach sees a human, it's pretty much the same. So you see, when you open the channels of communication to the malachim, you are not in any position of power to demand, to control. And you can use all the names in the world you want. And these entities will look at you as if you're nothing more than an ant. Very confused and stupid ant, mind you. Because they are so much more understanding, so much more knowledgeable, so much closer to Hashem, if you will, at their domain. Now there are angels, and there are angels. There are those who, as we say, have no free will, and those that apparently do. There are those which are at lower levels, and there are those which are higher levels. And even though I'm using the term angel to describe them, they are far beyond that which we understand as angels. So just let's leave it at that. Rabbi Yosef knows that if he truly wishes to accomplish his task, he has to get the help of the forces above to be on his side, to allow him access and entry into the true inner domains. Now, without such access, he's not going anywhere. And he can't get in there without their help. And you might so mythologically question, well, doesn't God allow? God allows a lot of things. Right? God is the ultimate creator of all things, including, I might add, all the forces of evil, and the Satan himself. They're all creations. Whose desire is it for Rabbi Yossi to go up and make his assault? God's or Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yosef. So in that respect, God's in everything. But if Rabbi Yosef wants to take an initiative, then he has to gather his forces, both above and below. And if you are afraid of making contact with Malachim, you will get nowhere. Oh, by the way, let me share with you this. If you ever do make contact with a real Malach, it's not going to be someone in a white robe with long blonde hair with wings playing a harp. Real Malachim, I assure you, will freak you out. I don't know how else to put it. They're so otherworldly, so unhuman, so extraterrestrial, that if your mind is able to grasp their presence in the form in which they actually take, you're going to freak out something bad. I want to warn you of that right now. So if and when there's such a circumstance, if you ever get to such a level, and this happens, let it be said that I warned you so. This is also what Rabbi Yosef had to deal with. But let's stay to our story here.
Ad Shebasof, the end now of the prayers, they said the name of Hashem, B'tziruf Shem Mab. They said the name Yud Ke Vav Ke in combination with the 42-letter name of Hashem, which is an actual interesting combination. I'm wondering here if I should reveal to you exactly what that is. I actually, in my Shiviti, one of the Shivitis that I offer through Kosher Torah, is the secrets of the Shem of Mab. And I actually show the permutations of the name with the name Yud Kei Vav, so it's there if anybody wants to see it. And, yes, with all the vowels as well. But that's something else. So, they said, Anenu, oh, by the way, it also has all the names of all these angels that we're talking about here as well. But anyway, he says, the Anenu prayers, Be'et Ba'onah Hazot, answer us now at this time, this place, U'Bekoach Hashem HaGadol HaZeh, and in the power of these great and holy names that we're talking about here, Yishvil Eliyahu Anavi. It says here that they called upon the immortal prophet, Eliyahu Anavi, who, mind you, is one of these angels who I've discussed. Sheyavo miyad elav, that he should immediately come to them. Beheketz, in being awake. They don't want a vision now. They don't want a dream. They want him physically to materialize. They want him to beam in there. Lidaberimo, to speak with. Ularot oto, et asher yaseh, to show him. What is he supposed to do? How can he accomplish this? Do you think there are books written how to overcome evil? How to be able to confront the greatest source of all things and overcome it and bring Mashiach? Who wrote the book? No one. Rabbi Yosef had the desire in his heart, but certainly did not have the knowledge of the path, and therefore had to solicit the direction of others to give him the ability to accomplish. So, it says here, Kedei Lavi Machshavato Lifol, so to teach him how to bring his what he wants to do to in action. The Gemara Tefilato, they finished their prayers. For now, Fulu Al Penehem Ben Nefilat Apayim, and they fell upon their faces in Nefilat Apayim, the standard supplicational prayers that we recite after Mincha. Umiyad Acharei Nefilat Apayim, and immediately thereafter, Hine Eliyahu Hanavi Bab Mirutza. Eliyahu Hanavi comes immediately, but Peta Pitom Alehem Nigla. And immediately and suddenly, he appears to them. Now, let's talk about Eliyahu Hanavi. As we know, he was a human being, living in a world of flesh and blood. But like Rabbi Yosef de Larina, only centuries, millennia before, chose to peel away all of the illusions of this physical world so that he could literally leave it behind. And indeed he did. And how interesting, it says he was taken up into heaven. Now, if heaven's this other dimension, I would just think that a light should appear, a doorway should appear, and you just walk through it. But apparently, as we know from the biblical story, heaven sent for Eliyahu a chariot of fire with horses of fire. Good gosh. I wish I could have been there to have seen what took him up and understand it in modern terminology. And you know where I'm going with this. If something tells me they weren't just a chariot and horses. They might have been interpreted as that. But who knows what they really were.
And Eliyahu went to another place. And we're always taught that Eliyahu comes and goes. And he's a shapeshifter. Eliyahu can come in the form of anyone, anywhere, at any time. It is not that his physical body died. He uses his physical body every time he comes to earth. And that body, therefore, shapeshifts to different forms. But he leaves it, if you will, every time he leaves this earth and goes back to where he comes from. Where exactly does he go? That's a good question. What is the nature of the domain to which he goes? It's a good question. So now that Eliyahu HaNavi has come to Rabbi Yosef de Larina, interesting, I know a question I would ask, where did you come from that you are here now? What is the nature and means of the domain in which you live as an immortal? So, things to ponder, things to question. But Eliyahu HaNavi is certainly human by all means, but not living upon the earth. Coming here as he needs to, taking on human form as he needs to, but yet surrendering that human form and taking on his other form whenever he returns to that from which he came. So Eliyahu now speaks. He says, Hine, ata bati, ma'ase lechem. Okay, here I am. What do you want? Pretty much. Ma'bakashatchem, asher hitzartem betfila. What are you requesting? What do you wish of me that you made all of these long and great tefilot? Eliyahu Navi didn't come by saying abracadabra. Rabbi Yosef opened up a vortex in his mind, was able to tap into the other domain, and by doing so, seek out and find that consciousness called Eliyahu. Summon him, request of him his presence. And as Rabbi Yosef de Larina's mind returned to his body, so Eliyahu Navi returned to this earth to take on his body. Moving right along, by Yekam Rabbi Yosef al Raglav, who was Talmidav. Rabbi Yosef and his students, they all stood up. Vishtachavu apayim aratza. They bowed down to the ground in respect to Eliyahu Navi, sign of subservience and surrender. Vayomru, and they said, Shalom la'adonenu, peace upon you, our Lord. Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Uparashav, a father of the chariots of Israel, etc. and so on. Navi Emet, Kadosh Hashem, Mevaser Tov, Mashpi Yeshua, you are the true prophet, Holy One of Hashem, the one who spreads the good word, and from whom we hear salvation. Alna, Alna Yerabe Enei Adoni, don't let it be bad in our Lord's eyes, that I've not, don't let it be bad. Please don't be angry at me that I made all these efforts to bring you down here. It is revealed and known before our God. It's not for my personal honor or my personal benefit that I made all these efforts to bring you down here. Rak kina kinati l'chvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shvinato. Only I have been very, very zealous for the honor of the Holy One, Blessed be in the Shekhinah. V'lachen tibolna t'chinati l'panecha. Accept now, if you will, my supplications. Alright? V'haneni aderech. Show me the path. Asher uchal l'chvosh ba'asitracha. Through which I will be able to conquer the other side, the dark side. So I can strengthen and establish the side of holiness. That's it. Rabbi Yosef knew how to connect to Eliyahu. It was almost a magnetic attachment of minds. That's the way it always works. That's why we call those types of meditations Yehudim, which means unification prayers, integration. You are unifying, meaning you're taking one and you're taking another and merging and bringing them together. through time, through space, through the vehicle of consciousness. V'yahan Eliyahu Navi v'amarlo. Now Eliyahu Navi is going to respond. Dalecha, know now. Ki hadavar asher ata choshev la'asot. That which you're thinking you really want to do. Kaved mimcha hadavar. V'lo yaleh b'yadecha. It's way too heavy for you. You're not going to succeed. Ki ba'avanot ha'klipot. In the many sins of the klipot, that the Sam, and he says here the full name of the dark angel, the Sayatu Govru Ma'od. It's because of our sins that they are so strong. The sins that I enumerated as we began our lessons. That's right. Don't go thinking yourself so religious and so pious all the times that you are unhealthy and disconnected from natural, normal living. Those are the illusions and the deceptions of the Satan and how he keeps you entrapped in the slavery of a modern Egypt. Lo tuchalehem. You do not have what it takes, Rabbi Yosef, to defeat them. Ki tzarich tosefet tahara v'kidusha. You need so much more purity, so much more holiness, u'pirishut gadol, and so much more separation. La'avdil me'inyanei ha'olam hazeh. To separate from all the matters of this physical world. You will never be able to overcome the sitra achra without all of this. Ulai yifka'u b'cha yizikucha. It's also possible that they can attack you and blemish you and cause you great harm. You want to fight a war? Just remember, battles go both ways. Vada yikavanatcha retzuya. Now, nonetheless, your intentions are good. And if you're able, how interesting, he says, you know, you're not able, but if you're able to bring to fruition that which you think, how happy will you be and how great will be your portion. However, my advice, chadalecha, don't do this thing, fearing that Sam and his powers, they will blemish you. They will hurt you. They are going to get you. You're not able to defeat him. You see, throughout Torah mitzvot, we recognize, there's an old saying we say in English, give the devil his due. Even to the Sitra Achra, they have a right to their portion. And that is why at Birkat HaMazon, before we recite grace after meals, we do Mayim Achronim, small little water, which it says very clearly in the Siddurim, that goes to the Sitra Achra. Also, you have the hairs on the head of the Tefillin. Those also go to the Sitra Achra. Yeah, the Sitra Achra is also created by God, has its place. It is bent out of shape, taken out of its place. When we exasperate the side of Kedusha and strengthen the side of Tum'ah with all of our terrible, terrible behaviors. This is the great secret. We cause the imbalance. Sitra Achra has its place, but by us embracing it, we make it stronger. Who then is the individual who has what it takes to overcome in his consciousness the entire body of sin, the entire misunderstandings and hedonistic behaviors of literally all mankind? V'ya'an Rabbi Yosef Amar. Rabbi Yosef now answers and states, Al na aduni, al tarfet yadi. Please, my Lord, don't hold me back in this. Haskini, I'm saying, make me strong. Support me, nourish me. Kinishbati shelo eshuv el baiti. I vowed, I will not return to my house until I am able to shine the light and raise up the holy Shekhinah that has fallen to the dust. V'ata, gam ata baruch Hashem. You too, blessed of Hashem. Ten yadecha imanu. Give us your hand. Join with us. V'horeinu kedat malasof. Teach me now what it is I need to do.
V'la'i mitzvah lishmor. And I will follow what you tell me. I'm going to do it. Et kol asher yitzavah Adonai et avadav. Everything that my Lord commands me, I'm going to do. Ani muchan u'muzuman limsor nafshi. I am ready and willing to sacrifice my nefesh, my soul, my ruach, my spirit. Lamut, to die. L'chvod kudsha b'richu u'shechinte. For the sake of the honor of the Holy One, blessed be He in the Shechinah. Ad yavona divarecha, ma na'ase ki alecha aninu. I am ready, I am now willing to listen, to do what you tell me to do. Please, don't hold me back. Tell me, how do I proceed? V'hi kishishimoy Eliyahu Navi devarav. Now, when Eliyahu Navi heard what he had to say, ki charaf nafsho, that he's willing to die, right? Lamut l'chvod kudsha b'richu u'shechinte. He's willing to die for this. How many of us are really willing to die for Hashem? Oh, I want to do the right thing. I'm willing to give everything. Yeah, I'm even willing to give a little extra tzedakah. I'll even fast an extra day. No, are you willing to die? Oh, yes, I am. Really? Then you should be willing to do everything up until dying. Like losing weight. Like living healthy. Like doing all the things that some you might find to be harder than dying. Rabbi Yosef is willing to lay down his life so that we wouldn't have to. That's a kadosh of the highest caliber. Think about that. We call this in Hebrew, mesirat nefesh, sacrificing of your soul, of your life. We see many proud Israelis in the army who do this on a regular basis. I don't see many other people doing that today. In the past, many. Today, I don't know. So, he continues and teaches here. Azamarlo, this is what you got to do. Ani ma'osif l'deber alecha od. I'm now going to add to you what else you have to do. V'im ya'ale b'yadecha v'tuchal l'amot k'neged samasayato. And if it does come into your hands and you're able to stand up against Sam, that's the Satan and all of his entourage. Tishmor et asher anochi mitzavacha hayom. Then pay very careful attention to what I'm telling you today. Vashrecha v'tov helkecha. And you'll be happy and blessed to be you. You'll have a good portion. Ata. Zeh davar asher taseh. This is what you got to do. Now let's get down to business. Ata v'talmidecha. You and your students. Toshvu b'sedeh rachok mina yeshuv. Sit out in the field. Sit out in nature. Very far away from any inhabited place. Kasher yashvata ad ata. Just like you've done until now. V'toshvu sham eslim b'had yom. Stay there 21 days. V'lo tuchlu v'lo tishtu rak me'layla l'valayla. Don't eat or drink other than from night to night. V'ma'achal shelchem yilechem u'mayim bilvad. You know what you eat? Bread and water alone. Wow! Where did I hear this before? Maybe in Pirkei Avot, which said, Pat belechem tuchal, mayim b'shroya tishtei. Eat your bread with salt and drink your water in measure. Right? Sleep on the floor and live a life of troubles, he says. Chai tza'ar techieh. Live a life without all the luxuries and pleasures. That's right. Learn to live off and in the land. U'b'chol layla tim'atu me'at me'achila. Every single night, eat less and less. All right, less and less bread. Ad she'targilu atzmechem be'achila me'at mezir. Until you're able to get along with eating even the smallest amount. Every time that we strengthen the physical body, it adds focus upon living in the reality of this illusionary world. And literally, you can't starve yourself to death. And I don't know a Jewish tradition of what I'm about to describe, but in the Chinese, who have a very long history of relationship with Israel, dating back to biblical times, that there was a form of health meditative practice in Chinese called Jigong, where in which literally
They could go without eating or drinking, but living off of the life force energy. That's right, for years at a time. Impossible, you say? Well, I have never met anybody who's gone for years without eating or drinking, living off of chi alone. One of my teachers said his teacher did. Now, I can't prove or disprove that, but I do know it is not unheard of. Moshe Rabbeinu did it at Har Sinai. We certainly have a Masara for it in our tradition. So I don't find it unacceptable that maybe that knowledge has been passed down to this day in different forms and different ways. So you see, the more and more we let go of this world, the more and more we're able to embrace the world of truth. Contemplate this well. Continuing, he says, Targilu l'harayach b'samim. Always be, he says, regulate yourselves to smell fragrance, incense. B'nyan sh'yeh ha'chomer shelchem zach v'naki. So it's to try to make your physical side, your chomer as it's called, as refined and pure as possible. V'tochlu lisbol malachei elyon asher torid otam lidaber imcha. And then will you be able to, the word is lisvol, tolerate, really weird word, tolerate the presence of the holy angels who will have to come down to speak with you. You see, angels are extraterrestrial. They are very different from the physical nature of our physical bodies. And that's why them and us in the same physical proximity literally makes a rip in space-time. And it's very hard on the body, literally, and it can burn us up. Because that's just the nature of their form. And if we wish to be able to stand in their presence and commune with them, then we have to be able to refine our bodies to such a point where the light of our neshama soul, which shines through the astral body called the Halukat Rabbanan, takes dominance over the physical body of flesh. And the only way that that occurs is by the lessening of the physical body of flesh and the strengthening of the inner body of light. Ubechol yom. And in each and every day, tasu, you're going to have to do for 21 days, tevilot keminyan ekiye. You're going to have to do the tevilot 21 immersions in the mikveh, corresponding to name Aleph Kei Yud Kei. Ubesof kaf alef yom, and at the end of these 21 days, tasu apsaka, take a break, v'tikablu ta'anit shlosha yamim retzufim ilayla v'yom, take a break. Oh, but taking it easy and going out and getting pizza? No. Taking a break here, 3 days complete of fasting. Purification. Complete refinement. Removal of all the toxins and poisons from the natural environment to go into the most purest form of what it is to be human. U'biyom ha'shlishin, on the third day, achar tefilat ha'mincha, after mincha, taskir shem ha'gadol shel shem mab, then again recite the 42-letter name, she'ata yodea, that you, of course you know with all of the tzidufim, it's all of its permutations and all of its meditations. V'ka'asher ta'asuken, and when you do this, tiyu atufim b'talit tefillin, make sure you're wearing at that time the talit and tefillin. They themselves are a psychic barrier of protection for the physical body. V'tichasu et penechem, make sure your faces are covered. V'tashpireu b'shamot ha'kodeshim et malach ha'poloni. And then you will invoke a specific angel. He doesn't mention who it is yet. V'hu imachanato machanehu yavo'u alechem. And this specific angel, with all of its entourage, will then come to you. V'kasher yavo'u hitazuku l'reach ha'tov l'reach. And then when this angel comes to you, you will strengthen yourself by taking in these incense spices. You're going to take in the fragrance. You're going to be freaked out. You're going to be weak. From all of the powerful sounds and fire. ומיד תשליחו עצמכם לארץ. Immediately they threw themselves down to the ground. ותאמרו בקול רם מאוד. They said in a very loud voice, Baruch Shem, כבוד מלכותו לעולם האל. That's what you do when these angels come. מיד המלאך וסייתו יאמר לרחם. And then the angel will say to you, למה עשיתם הדבר הזה? Why did you do this thing? Meaning to call them. ומיד ידברו עליכם. And then when they talk to you, מקול הרעש הגדול, from their great and powerful voice, תצא נשמתכם ותשארו בלא כוח. It's like your soul is going to leave your body and you're going to stay without any power. ולא תוכלו להשיבו מרוב הפחד והחולשה. And then you will be as if left without any strength or power. Now, I'm going to stop in the text at this point because I want to explain just a little bit about what it is to meet a malach, and then we will pick up here. As I said, an angel is not just a vision in your mind, even though it can be. These are clearly entities that are not of this earth. There are those who imitate them. We read about those in books all the time, in the modern popular genres in the bookstores. But a real angel is so highly extraterrestrial, so otherworldly, that just experiencing it, seeing it, literally is enough to give you a heart attack and freak you out and drop you dead. Because they are so different, terrifying. The best example I can give you is like what the Bible describes in Ezekiel's vision. Remember it said that he saw these angels and they had four faces and wings and single foot and glowing bodies. Yeshayahu refers to a group of angels called Seraphim. Some refer to it as burning ones. Others refer to them as the reptilians. These are really otherworldly entities. And the way that we communicate to them isn't with spaceships. They don't need spaceships to get from where they are to where we are. They travel through the dimensions of mind. And they connect to us through the dimension of mind. We can magnetically draw them to us by having our minds in the proper ways and focus, resonating the right sounds, opening up the right passageways through space, through time. And literally, a doorway opens. And these entities appear. And they're in our world, but not in our world. It's kind of like just opening up a doorway and they're standing on their side of the doorway and the door we're standing on ours. But that opening is almost like a rip in space-time. It's almost like, you know, a wormhole connecting. It's a very tumultuous experience. Definitely not something you want to do in an urban environment. It's dangerous. And only those who make the proper, very, very serious and holy preparations to align themselves accordingly can ever hope to come close to accomplishing these tasks. So on that note then, let's conclude this, our second lecture. In Bezrat Hashem, we're going to pick up more to discuss about the besamim, the incense, the spice, that which is also used, not just to give you a nice smell, but to alter human consciousness. We'll talk of Eliyahu's leaving, and more of the angels. God be willing in our next class. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen.